Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello!
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me!
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
Hello, Swampy.
How are you?
All right, my friend, how are you?
I'm all good. So welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Swampy's Red Rebel Radio. And this week, we're sponsored by Doom, the new aftershave. From the makers of Gillette razor blades, Doom.
Gillette?
Doom.
No.
The best the man can get. Or woman. Right, anyway, so welcome to the show, everybody. And
Ben, can I... Yes? Point of order. You and I both have beards. When was the last time you took a Gillette to your bonds?
I have a shave all the time.
I
style my face. I have a beard and I have sideburns. But the stuff... I have other places on my face where hair grows, which doesn't appear on my face. It's true.
Did you say you style your face?
I style my face.
Goodness gracious me. Well,
without a mirror, admittedly, but I do it.
Yeah, I can't see a sponsorship deal coming your way soon. I can't see you sort of like on television in the shower and then, you know, doing the best a man can get or all big raises or whatever.
Doom.
And then basically
the new aftershave from Gillette.
Doom.
Fair
enough.
Let's talk about football, Swampy.
Do we have to?
Well, can't talk about anything else, can we?
We could talk about, Ben, what's in this week's Aldi catalog.
Oh,
I hope
I'm
you're
so
prepared
sorry.
And ready this week. Last week you disappointed me, Ben, and, I'm sure you would have taken heed of what my upset last week and not being able to discuss the Brassiere section together with the spankled Voom Dams.
Well, just to be clear, we're still working on it. Can we have another vote on it next week?
Yes, Ben.
Keep asking me the same question. I'm sure you'll get a different answer at some point. Anyway, subtle satire there, everyone. FC United. Seven points.
This started off well, isn't it?
7 points inside the relegation zone.
7 points inside the relegation zone.
Yeah, I'm including the goal difference in that. And
I take it in that respect, we're sort of like top of the relegation zone, aren't we?
Yeah. Do we win a trophy for that?
I'm hoping so. Yes. It's a ticket to Hyde. I mean, it's been a very interesting week at FC United Towers, hasn't it? It's lots of revelations. Very candid interview from Neil Reynolds, which. A couple of players, I think, they came out with a bit of a backlash, and also Neil deciding that he wasn't afraid to play the under-21s this weekend against Darlington. It's got to be the most incredible season in our short history. We've already talked about, obviously, the fact that we have had, you know, three managers, four goalkeepers, 55 players, the 56 probably starting on the bench probably tomorrow, might even be playing the part of the 12th fan. But yeah, I mean, last week, Benjamin, I mean, I said on the show, didn't I, last Friday, basically that it should be, and it should have been, a walk in the park for FC United and Manchester. But I also said we had to have a note of caution because if the players went in with an attitude that they finished the game with on the Tuesday against York City, then we could be in serious problems. And that certainly transpired. Then we obviously heard about the talk of players talking about money and a number of players really not rolling their sleeves up and not giving 100%. I heard Roy Sewell and yourself. It's not often that Roy is pretty much speechless, but he talks about a gutless performance. And even if you don't play well, I mean, it's about the 100%. It's about giving everything in the game of football. Players don't ordinarily go out to lose games of football, but in this instance, it seemed to me that those players went out there not particularly caring, or some of them anyway, not all. We don't want to put everyone in the same basket, so to speak, but very, very disappointing. In fact, it was that disappointing. I've not burnt down Neil Reynolds or David May on the chip van, because basically that would have actually, me doing that would have had more effort in what I did than what the players put in on Saturday.
Yeah. A lot of people there at the time also had that same expression on the face, which was, what was that? That kind of expression. What interesting thing that Suli said was, I wouldn't throw the under-21s in because that could damage their careers. But there's no other option now, is there? Because we're past the transfer deadline and the registration deadline. That's gone. So you can't reward those players who Neil knows. I mean, we're not privy to who's saying what and who's done what. But Neil does, and Neil has to act. And if that means that all he's left with is under-21 players, then so be it, surely.
To a degree, yeah. I mean, I think from what I can gather, there was about 6 or 7 under-21s training on Tuesday night. They would have also been there last evening. And I suppose it's about the minds and attitudes of those players that are, you know, we would class as senior players that have been in the first team for most of the season, what their attitude's like, whether or not they're prepared to go to a game and actually put up a fight. I don't think, in fairness, that from an under-21 perspective, I think a lot of kids can go in there with confidence. They're doing very well in the football league, their league at this moment in time. They're scoring goals for fun. I think if you just say, if Neil says it would be the right way, he said, look, you've been training with us for the last couple of sessions. Some of you are going to be figuring tomorrow. Don't worry if we get beat. All I want you to see is going and enjoying yourself and putting 100% in, playing against a team that are having difficulties of themselves and haven't won that many games this season and continue tomorrow could be a real upset on the cards, because if you can go in there with players that A, your opposition haven't had a chance to see, B, the players that we do bring in don't freeze and actually play with freedom and enjoy themselves, it could be an opportunity for them to cement themselves for next season in the first team squad, and equally give a bit of a shock and a surprise to Darlington. But I don't think there's anything else Neil can do. I think you're right. You can't reward those players that Neil's identified himself in the dressing room with another game and another payment. I mean, you know, I've been saying for a long, long time that, you know, when you join this football club, you've got to be sat down, you've got to be told that he's a fan-owned football club. You know, we watched the film Looking for Eric, and I know it was only sort of a fantasy, but, you know, when one of your own gets hurt and, you know, you're up against it, everyone comes together. And that's what he showed in Looking for Eric, where, you know, people did that. They went out of the way as a group of people helping each other out. Now, we're a fan-owned football club. We help each other out. If there are players that aren't prepared, they might say, oh, yeah, I'll give him for this football club, blah, blah, blah. But it's really about the money, and it's about the kudos of actually looking, playing in front of a big crowd and equally looking for opportunities to get away at the earliest convenient moment. Then, you know, we have a right. I mean, I've in the past spoken to players that have been happy with a few comments I've made. I was thinking about this the other day, thinking, actually, rather than placate those players, I should have turned around and said, this is our football club. It belongs to people like me and Ben and the other 2,000 people that actually own this football club, that want this football club to be successful. And if you're not happy about A, payments, about B, things that have been said about you, then you know what? Do one. We don't need you, because this football club is more important than any individual, including myself and yourself, Ben. You know, we have opinions and we discuss our opinions.
I like to feel like we're both part of the furniture, at least.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, there's always a sale on in furniture shops, so they're always improving and, you know, bringing the next new sofa out. We're going to be very careful.
I don't want to go in a Pickford van. Don't do it to me. Come on, please.
No, I mean, look, we are a fan-owned football club, and we have as much right and as much to say as the next person, be it a member of the board, member of the playing staff, a player themselves, because ultimately, without the supporters at FC United of Manchester, FC United of Manchester would not exist. There's no, you know, rich benefactor coming in. There's no one, you know, giving £32,000 a week to bring your football club up to a promotion standard and, you know, writing off probably £2.5 million in the National League North. You know, we've got to do it with the hard work of individual people, club volunteers, staff members as well. And the players need to know that when they come into this football club, it's not like a standard football club. I can understand players coming in and having that mindset, but they have to know straight away, look, you're not coming into any ordinary football club. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But from the offset, you need to know about them and who we are, what we're about, and basically that this football club depends upon supporters, about finances that the supporters put in. And if those players on the pitch aren't putting in and the club aren't being successful in the sense of that there's attractive football on offer, win, lose or draw, then this club will not succeed and those players aren't welcome at FC United of Manchester. It's as simple as that, you know, and it's not, and I'm not necessarily blaming those players. Some of them certainly, but other players, no, you don't have to necessarily blame. It's just the wrong kind of culture of a football club to be involved in. And some players will thrive at a football club like FC United of Manchester and others will actually, you know, be a bit detrimental to the football club. You've got ex-players, and social media is a wonderful thing now because you can hear and speak to everybody. Mm-hmm. They, you know, with offers of like, we'll bring the entire team that got us up playing again. I'm thinking, goodness gracious me, how many players are with walking sticks, wheelchairs nowadays, and, you know, can't kick a ball 10 yards. But that's the passion they had for the football club. They see a football club that has gone through major problems. And when they see all these things that are going on, they say, well, we play for next to nothing. And that is true. You know, the wage bill at FC United has always been a small amount of money. But equally, you know, we have to remember, and again, even though we don't pay huge wages, the vast majority of people in semi-professional football have full-time jobs. Yes, they do sacrifice things, but they're sacrificing something that they want to sacrifice, i.e. playing football. So on top of, you know, what they earn individually in their full-time professions, they also get paid a decent amount of money in the real world or semi-professional football. And the vast majority of footballers, I would suggest, when they combine both wages, earn more than the average person on the terraces at FC United of Manchester. So even though they don't get paid great deals of money, they still probably have more money in their back pocket week in, week out than the average supporter does. And when you look at the fact that individual certain players were complaining about not being paid for a game, if 2,000 FC United supporters got into that ground and paid their £12, I can guarantee you now that 90% of those supporters would have actually said, you know what, we'll pay again next week. They wouldn't have asked them for the money back, because that's the thing, we're a supporter-owned football club. We know what it takes to be a success. We've had some great success and we are where we are now. And supporters have to, or players I should say, have to and will, I'm sure, from next season, really understand what FC United is all about. And if they don't, they shouldn't be welcome at FC United of Manchester at all.
Well, we're recording this show on Friday afternoon. It's 20 past four. We're doing that time check because there's going to be news breaking, apparently, of players who are leaving and also players who are the under-21 squad who are travelling. At the moment, we can't really comment on it, but it is a situation which I don't think anyone's enjoying, but we have to look to the future. And I'm quite excited. I'm quite excited about Darlington. It's a hiding to nothing, and that's just the catering. And it's like, well, let's just go up there and have a laugh and see what happens.
I honestly believe that we will be taking this game as seriously as we've taken all the other games this season, with the exception perhaps of the last one, and that's from a player's perspective, not the management perspective. I know Neil was devastated. You could hear in his tone and the way he was talking on Saturday in a candid interview. I know Dave Chadwick was equally devastated and to a point nearly in tears in regards to the way players had reacted. And, you know, he's a person who, let's not forget, was the captain of his football club, played for pennies, would have played for free, like a lot of the ex-players that, you know, love this football club. And they would have this week approached it in a professional manner. They would have weeded out those that want to leave. They would have weeded out those that they don't want to be there. And they will select a team tomorrow that I think will probably surprise a few people. I think there'll be names of people because, again, social media unfortunately just throws up names and individual people might already been castigated when it's nothing to do with them. And we'll see tomorrow on the team sheet. Those, I would suggest those players that are on the team sheet tomorrow are players that actually have backed the management, backed the club, and want to be a success.
Well, we're doing an interview with Neil tonight, and I'm hoping that we can release that interview on Friday night. I mean, we've delayed those interviews because we don't want to give the opposition a heads up on what's going on, but we'll see what comes out of that. But we'll look to get that interview out tonight if we can, without trying to divulge too much, because, like you say, it'd be unfair to those players who were just purely injured or suspended, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah. So, from Neil, you just, he'll give you, I'm sure, again tonight, a candid interview, talk about, warts and all. At the end of the day, what we've got to do is make sure that we go forward as a football club. It's not going to be a problem if we get relegated, as far as I'm concerned. He's the right person for the job. And even those doubters, I mean, there were, again, on social media, quite a number of doubters who have basically said in the last month or so, he hasn't got a clue, why did we choose him? So I think we're, regardless of results tomorrow, as long as we put 100% in the supports tomorrow, again, there's a number of quite, I think there's three coaches going up at least. So again, it just proves that even those people that weren't going to go, that were doubting Neil Reynolds, were thinking he was not the right person, they've changed their tune a little bit because they realise all of a sudden what's going on.
On Saturday, full commentary coming your way from 2:30. Myself, Stato Paul, and JCL, Jimmy Come Lately, James Quinn, he'll be there too. So,
well, he's got a fan base there, hasn't he? I remember a couple of seasons ago, was in every groups of people coming up and having photographs taken with him and this, that, and the other. Anyway, it's JB Shorts has been very successful in his finish, so he's into the fold. And you do know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't you? If FC do win, he will take the complete credit for everything.
Oh, let him. He's fine. We've done the hard yards. You know, terrible, terrible games, and we've been there. We've been there for those terrible games, and I wear it as a badge of honour to say I commentated on that Nuneaton Borough match. I was there. I did two and a half hours of talking on that game. Wow. Anyway,
to be honest, I thought your commentary 2 weeks earlier at the Saturday game at York was probably better though.
Oh, don't be like that. Anyway, things to do in Darlington because we are travelling up there, and I should say my youngest is back with us and he's woken up. So the best thing to do, the number one thing to do in Darlington is apparently the Walworth Castle Birds of Prey, which is in Walworth, which isn't far from Darlington. And then there's the Darlington Hippodrome, which is a bit like that one in Stockport, the Plaza. And there's the Rocklife Hotel Spa, which isn't too far from Darlington either. And that looks delightful. They've got a food menu and a cup of tea there as well. Lovely.
Did you know, Ben, at one stage, Darlington had more cinema seats per head than any other place in the whole of the United Kingdom?
I didn't know that, Swamper. Was that all indeed. Cinemas? Are you including the seedy ones as well, or just traditional?
I'm including all cinema.
Good.
With or without raincoats.
Good. And when it comes to other things to do in Darlington, head down to the catering stall. I like the burger. I know a lot of people have been a bit iffy about the burger. I liked it. I didn't think it was that bad.
I think the photograph, in my opinion, did it justice. It looked like a lump of coal in some bread. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, let's not forget the other thing that Darlington is famous for, which is, of course, the steam railway. And they've got a Darlington Railway Museum that's filled with lots of locomotives and lots of coal, like the burgers.
Well, it's famed for a steam railway because basically it's where the engine was first started. That's where it comes from. You know, Darlington is famous for that. Money put up by, I think, the Quakers, hence why we're playing tomorrow at Darlington. The Quakers, the area was a very religious area, and the money invested into steam and other industry as well. Do you also know it's got an airport?
What? Who's
Darlington
that?
Darlington has an air.
Who's that for?
Darlington has a, it actually charters international and European flights, and internal UK domestic flights as well.
When you it's say about eight when you say international, do you mean like to the Faroe Islands and Isle of Man? Is that what you mean?
Well, that's primarily Europe, Ben. I actually think it is only European and internal flights within the UK as well. But yeah, it is famed for having a sort of about 8 miles outside of Darlington as well. They've also got some buses, I believe. There's a couple of bus routes.
All right, mate.
They've got some bus routes, and also, obviously, we just mentioned that, but they are quite big on the road railways, because obviously there's quite a lot of famous sort of like people that have been involved in railways over the years from the Darlington area.
I'm just looking at the airport, by the way. It does exist, everybody. Durham Tees Valley Airport. And there's flights currently leaving the airport going to Amsterdam. There's three flights over the next 24 hours, all going to Amsterdam.
Before you go any further, I want to caveat here now, ladies and gentlemen. What Ben said there was there are actually three flights, flights. Yeah. Because you're going to get a lot of people for it. Excuse me, can I go to Amsterdam this weekend after FC United? Yeah, we'd like to go over there and have a weekend in Amsterdam. Three flights a day, ladies and gentlemen, not three flights.
That's fine, yeah. And Aberdeen is also one of the destinations when you arrive at the airport and go, oh, I want to go somewhere. Aberdeen.
Indeed.
You can go there too.
Why not? It holds a UK first as well, Darlington. And that is...
We've discussed it, the railways. We know. We know.
No. 2009, Ben. This is modern, this.
Whoa.
Mike McTimony.
Yes.
The famous Mike McTimony. No? Do you know him? The Darlow Bard is known as the Darlow Bard. And you know why? Because Darlington was the first place in the UK to have a Twitterist in residence.
What's a Twitterist?
Someone that goes on Twitter and basically promotes their town or city. And in 2009... he was actually promoted by the council, became the first person in the UK to be the Darlow Bard, he's known as, and he was the first Twitterer in residence in the whole of the UK.
Wow. And you're not even on Twitter anymore, are you? You refuse to run it, so...
No, I'm sort of
you've missed
I'm
a call
there.
In there. You could have been Longsight's Bard. You know that? That could have been you, the Longsight lyricist. It could have been you.
I am, though. Ben, I am. I'm actually barred from Longsight. I'm barred from Burnage and barred from...
He's not wrong, by the way. When he's on the 192 on the top deck, as soon as he enters Longsight, he has to crouch down below the window line. He does.
See, you can tell you got a bit posh there, Ben.
Yes.
You're offering free flights to people to Amsterdam, and they say, oh, yes, and once he gets on the 192, he likes to crouch down. You know what I mean? No, we duck, Ben. You'd have to duck. Hey, he'd have to duck, you know, gets into Longsight through Hardwick. Hey, duck down, lads, what's going on? Hey, are we in Levy yet? Yeah, okay. Up we go. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, we're on the borders. Dean Matthews Lane, be careful. And then basically, that's what I would have used the word duck. That would have been much, much better. Anyway.
Yes,
just to let you know, there's quite a lot of famous people from Darlington. I'm just going to give you a quick
please do.
Rundown. Charles Dickens' brother.
Oh, Barry Dickens.
Barry Dickens, Dicko Bazza, as he was known. He was the brother to Charles Dickens. I don't think he was particularly well liked, to be honest. But he was actually buried in West Cemetery in Darlington. I don't think he was born. He wasn't born there, but he's buried there. And this is a great one. You'll like this. Alpes. That's not Ask Tomorrow going, how are you, man? I love a little bit of like, I'll have some of those. One of them's burgers and some of them chips, and I'll have Al Pease all over them. Actually, a human being called Al Pease.
He was
a Formula One racing car driver, and he's the first person, and he still holds the record to this day. He was the first and only person ever to be disqualified for actually going around the track too slowly.
Right. We've started the show off on a negative footing. We've struggled to try and inject a bit of life into this show because it is depressing at the moment. But
I've been looking,
everyone. And if you are on the tram, make sure that the old lady sat next to you is aware that you're about to shout and scream a happy joy sounds. FC United, 7 points behind Guiseley. I think a win tomorrow, Guiseley are travelling to Brackley Town. It's down to 4 points, Swampy. Then next Saturday, it's FC United hosting Kidderminster Harriers. Kidderminster, we've done them before. We'll do them again. We'll win that game. Guiseley are taking on Ashton United. Ashton United will win that game. It's down to 1 point then next Saturday, Swampy. I'm committing to it now, everybody. Swampy, it's on. It's on, everyone.
Well, Ben, all I can say in all honesty is...
Oh, it is on. I'm going to say
if it's on... if it's on, it's on. If it's off, it's off. But you know what, Ben? You're right.
Yay!
You're right.
It's back on, everyone.
Brexit might be off for the time being, but FC United's survival is still on. Tomorrow you're gonna fight. You're gonna see. You know, if you're a betting person, here, go on, put 50 dabs, 50 dabs, sherbet dabs. That is 50 sherbet dabs on FC United to win. Why not, Ben? Why not? We've been full of doom and gloom. We've been thinking, yes, it's on, it's on, it's on, and then they come along and they kick us in the gonads. You go, thanks very much. Thanks very much. I was enjoying the weekend. You've just ruined it. In fact, last week, I've never felt so dejected in my life. I was absolutely... Oh, I was... And then the only thing that brought me round was I went to watch Union, and we won. We won by 3-1, and then we won on Tuesday again, and we're top of our division. 2 games in, big game tomorrow as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, and Costa P... It's interesting, we've had Al Pease, and Costa Pease just got hold of me. He's the head of the Union Boys fan club.
We've got
a game tomorrow.
Who are you?
We've got a game tomorrow. What? What's wrong now?
Nothing.
One other thing, Ben, I've got to say this. An absolute fantastic congratulations and well done to Chertsey Town. Dave Anderson, ex-AFC Wimbledon manager, friend of FC United of Manchester, and also a co-commentator on one of the shows that we do outside FC United. FA Vars, final 19th of May at Wembley. He's a very, very passionate man. He's a man that has always, whatever would have been, wanted to walk out on the Wembley turf. He's going to do it as a manager. A manager that came in last season at Chertsey, they were bottom of the division. He kept them up. Change the team round, FA Vars finalist. They beat Northwich Victoria on penalties last Saturday. Just so proud of him. I'm so pleased for him. And if anyone's got a chance to get down there, get yourself to Wembley because it's a great day. 2 games for the price of one, and semi-professional football at its very, very best.
Right. Before you go, Swampy, your song, please.
Oh, you know, it's an interesting one. What should we play? I tell you what we'll play. We'll play, because if we win tomorrow, it will be huge. It'll be massive. It'll be gigantic.
By the Pixies?
I think it has to be the Pixies Gigantic, Ben.
Well done.
They're coming to town. They're playing here in Belgium in November. Tickets went on sale this afternoon at €50 a pop. And tomorrow, Ben, not only am I going to be listening to FC United... I've also got a date with Union St. Gilles at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, I'm actually out going to see Dylan Moran, the great Irish comedian, the Oscar Wilde of comedy, as he's known. And that should be interesting. And tomorrow, Ben, I'm test driving a Jaguar tomorrow, Ben.
Who are you? You're out of control. I'm calling an end to this show. It's absolutely
an
ridiculous.
An electric one, Ben. A fully electrified car. That's what we're going for tomorrow. So with that, all I will say is have a very, very happy afternoon tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the football. Keep tuning into FC Radio. It's on. It's as simple as that.
It is on.
Until then, until it's not on, it's always on.
Bye, Swampy.
This is FC UM Radio, where footballing insight is left at the door.